Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were.
Going back to Cali. Going back to Cali, maybe. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Next Fan Up. I am Pod Vader. I am here with the super fans today of the Los Angeles Rams. Jared Murphy, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Pod. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. It's the Next Fan Up. Somebody's got to come and take a seat next to you, and that would be from the LA Chargers, Ken Priest.
What's up, guys? It's 70 and sunny in California, San Diego, California today. Beautiful day. I'm doing well.
I don't want to hear it because it's another Saturday and there's snow falling from the sky here in Connecticut. Where I don't think, well, there could be snow falling where he is, but there's no snow falling in LA. Not the kind that that melts, at least. The LA Raiders, Monty Ressler, what's happening?
Not much. Just another reason to hate the Chargers.
So, as you can tell, we're going to talk a lot about the move or the proposed move to Los Angeles. The NFL looking to go back after a generation ago when they left town. The Rams and the Raiders have both been there before. The Chargers, well, we'll see what our fans have to say. We want this to be an interactive show, folks. This is by the fans, for the fans. The way to interact with us is on email, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter, @NFUPodcast, and on Facebook. That would be Next Fan Up if you just search it, or go to facebook.com/NFUPodcast. You, of course, are listening to us now either via a download from iTunes, where we are, or on blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. It's Saturday, March 28th, and the NFL is looking at Los Angeles once again. Right now, from everything that we can tell, the strongest proposal is coming from St. Louis and owner Stan Kroenke. So, Jared, how do you feel about the Rams going back to L.A.?
Well, I may be a little biased. I'm actually grew up in L.A. and I still live in California. I'm in Northern California now. So for me, it'd be nice because I was really sad when they left about 20 years ago. But yeah, I mean, the proposal that Stan has is pretty strong. And the stadium situation, I don't know how much details you want to get into, but the stadium situation in St. Louis, Edward Jones Dome, is probably one of, if not the worst stadiums in the NFL. It's more of a convention center than a football field. So they have the right to opt out of the lease as part of the agreement they signed when they actually left LA to go to St. Louis. So if it wasn't one of the top 25% of the stadiums in the NFL, they could leave. So they actually even won arbitration going. They proposed that to get in the top 25%, there'd be about $700 million of renovations that need to be done to totally rebuild the stadium, make a open roof stadium. City of St. Louis said, no, it's more like $125 million. The Rams actually won. And since then, they've been kind of quiet on the front of negotiating with each other. And I don't blame City of St. Louis. They're still paying on the dome they built for them less than 20 years ago. But a deal's a deal. So Stan, he bought the land about a year ago and has been working hard to get the proposal together. And once he made the announcement earlier this year, that's the first time that really kind of set everything in LA in motion, whether it was City of St. Louis trying to counter with their own brand new stadium or with the Chargers and Raiders getting involved. So as a biased Rams fan who lives in California, I'd love for them to come back. They were here for 50 years and have a lot of kind of nostalgia as Sam Farmer, the LA Times would say, for the Rams in LA. But I know I'd feel bad for the fans in St. Louis if they did leave because they lost the Cardinals in 87 and then they would lose the Rams. That'd be two teams lost in 30 years. That's pretty tough.
So while Stan might have the strongest stadium plan in place, the strongest support among the owners right now, according to reports that I've been reading, is with Dean Spanos and the Chargers. Ken, your team hasn't been to LA before. What are your thoughts about this?
Okay, so number one, I hate the idea of the Chargers moving to LA. I was born and raised in San Diego. I've lived here pretty much all my life. And to see them leave would be tragic. I would hate it. And although there may be owner support for the Chargers moving to to Los Angeles, I think the Chargers are they'd be the least supported by the fans in LA. First of all, LA doesn't have a huge clamoring for NFL football because I think they're mainly a USC oriented town. And you know, they're talking about a stadium in Inglewood. Inglewood is right next to USC. So the fans that want football, they're all about USC. Second is this idea of the Chargers and the Raiders sharing a stadium. And I think that's a horrible idea, first of all, because Chargers fans hate the Raiders and Raiders fans hate the Chargers. Those games in San Diego are like, they're dangerous to go to, man. People get really, really rowdy. And I think the idea of sharing a stadium is not only kind of wonky, but I think it's dangerous.
Well, I mean, you guys are never going to be in the same stadium unless it's an actual game against each other. And of course, the rumor is if you share the stadium, one of you is moving to the other conference. So you wouldn't play twice a year.
That's true. But then I also think it's going to be hard to coordinate both Dean Spanos and the Davis family to get together and get a plan going in L.A. I think that's going to be kind of difficult to do.
Yeah, let me just jump in here on you right there. You mentioned the Davis family. So, Monty, the Davis family was doing some prospecting last year, but it wasn't in L.A. that they were doing the prospecting. They were looking at someplace in Texas called San Antonio. So what are your thoughts about these reports of the Raiders moving back to a city where they played once before?
Well, with all due respect to the Raymond James Edwards Stadium, the Raiders play on a baseball field. We've got the worst stadium of all of the NFL teams. And since 1982, they've been chasing after a new stadium. When the Raiders first played in L.A., they were trying to get a new stadium built. And so for every year, we kind of hear, you know, they're doing what they can to try to get a new stadium. So whether it's San Antonio, if the Rams moved out of St. Louis and the Raiders got a new stadium there, I just think that since 1982, they've been trying to get a new stadium, and I'm hoping that this Los Angeles carrot that the NFL seems to dangle in front of local markets in order to get them to build a new stadium is going to help Oakland stay in Oakland and build a stadium. But I just don't see it happening. In California, they're trying to get water in the huge drought, let alone get public financing for a stadium. So as far as going to L.A., I could see the Raiders doing it because Mark Davis, I mean, he's on record saying he's willing to change conferences. Think about that. All those rivalries that you grew up cheering for, he's willing to change conferences just to get a new stadium. Being able to get, like, the luxury suites and all the dollars that go into that in order to get a stadium, I mean, I think that's the ownership group's top priority. And, I mean, it's not going to surprise me where they go, but I definitely hope they stay in Oakland. Oakland fans are great. Their tailgating is off the charts. They pull in all the trailers and fire up the grills. I mean, it would definitely suck if they move, but I just would not be surprised if it happens.
Dean Spanos wants a new stadium, too, and they've been talking about getting a new stadium ever since I've been a Chargers fan. And I think they would be willing to move if they could get a stadium deal done in L.A. I think they would do it in 1 second because as much as they love San Diego and as great as San Diego is as a city, they want that new stadium pretty much at all costs. And on the other side of that, I don't think they're going to get a stadium done. I think the most likely scenario is that they get some renovations done at Qualcomm because finding funding from the public in San Diego is going to be extremely difficult. It is, you know, there's a bunch of different, the mayor of San Diego has created this, you know, stadium building team. And today, or a couple of days ago, they opened up, they brought in the county of San Diego. So previously it was just the city of San Diego that was looking, on this team, looking to find funding. And now they brought in the county. And so I think, I think it's going to be really, really hard to find public funding because Dean Spanos has already, you know, he's made it clear that he's not willing to build a stadium by himself.
You know, you bring up that public funding point, which I find absolutely fascinating, because if there's one state in this nation that it's tough to get any sort of public funding from, it's got to be California. I mean, you guys are got to be the most strapped, you know, taxed state in the nation. How in the world are you going to be able to fund a stadium, really, not only in LA, but in San Diego or in Oakland or somewhere in the Oakland vicinity? How do you,
it's amazing that the 49ers were able to pull off the deal to build Levi Stadium. Like I would assume most of the state is still kind of in shock that they were able to pull it off. I don't know how much of it was public funding, but they did get some money. And like I said, California is trying to figure out ways to get waters to their major city, let alone building football stadium.
I know the 49ers stadium happened through, I think, $500 to $600 million in PSL licenses, and they're in the heart. They moved it down, actually south from San Francisco to Santa Clara, where Apple, Google, and a lot of the other big tech giants are, and they corporate bought up a lot of those luxury suites, PSLs, and that's how they were able to finance that. And actually, so Monty, I have a question for you. Would you be opposed to sharing Levi's Stadium with the 49ers as opposed to playing in the converted, kicking a field goal off the infield or having to look up at Mount Davis there in Oakland?
Well, as a fan, I think anyone would like to see the Raiders play in an actual football stadium, not a converted baseball field. But from the ownership group's perspective, it sounds like it wasn't a true sharing situation. Like the deal that they're proposing for the Chargers and the Raiders are trying to be like an equal 50-50 sharing. But the Santa Clara deal for Levi Stadium was kind of well in place before the notion of bringing the Raiders on board came to be. So essentially the Raiders would just be like a tenant renting out Levi Stadium. They wouldn't have full 50-50 agreement. But for me, I mean, that stadium looks amazing. I mean, there's nothing worse than watching your team get tackled on the second base of an infield. And you just think as a corporation like the NFL with so much money, how is it possible that the Raiders are still sharing a baseball field?
Well, again, the NFL has a lot of money, Ken, but do the people of California have enough money to fill that stadium? We know that, you know, the dirty secret is that they build these stadiums to have the luxury boxes sort of pay for them. But at the same time, I mean, ticket prices are quite expensive. Can the city of LA even support two NFL? Can the city of LA support one NFL team, never mind two, and maybe three?
I think that the city of LA could support one team, and I think they would find more support from the Raiders or from the Rams. Considering you think about the nostalgia that Jared mentioned earlier about the Rams, I think if the Rams moved to LA, they would have a lot of support from the people that supported them back when they were in LA. And I think obviously if the Chargers moved to LA, they would get support too, but I don't see it as being as much as the Raiders or the Rams. I think the Chargers are the worst fit in terms of support. And that's not to say that they wouldn't be supported, but I think it's the worst of the three in terms of fan support.
Well, just to bring up one more wrinkle, I think that the Chargers are actually more likely than the Raiders because there's 31 individuals, the billionaire owners who own their teams. Al Davis sued the NFL to try to get into Los Angeles, and they stopped him and fought with him every step of the way. So in order for the Raiders to make a move to Los Angeles, the owners need to approve that, and I would just literally be shocked if they opened up the Los Angeles market to Al Davis's kid based on the history.
I mean, we know that LA is the second biggest TV market in the United States, but in terms of NFL, I don't think that even matters anymore. Do you, Jared?
Well, I did a little research. I saw that there's actually 22 million people who live in Southern California and just 10 million within LA County alone. And I think I read somewhere there's about 15 million people would live within an hour drive of the Inglewood Stadium. Again, that's an hour drive without traffic, but still pretty close. So I think just with the, I mean, 20 years ago, the NFL wasn't nearly as big as it is now. And even if say the Rams are playing the Chicago Bears, there's got to be at least, you know, 10 to 20,000 Bears fans that live in the LA area who'd want to see their team play. Or, you know, I just don't think they'd have that much trouble filling a stadium with how many, just the sheer number of people that live down there and just fans from other teams are going to, I mean, I go to see the Rams play whenever they play the 49ers or Raiders up here. So I don't think it'll be that hard to fill a stadium for one team, but like people are saying, two teams, that'll be a little more difficult.
I honestly still don't understand all the economics behind it. The NFL is a $1 billion corporation without a team in LA. I don't see LA necessarily increasing those coffers. We know that this is really just a ploy by owners who want to build a stadium to get more money out of the public, and specifically the corporate public, to build luxury boxes in a stadium and compete on a monetary level with some of the other big tycoons in the NFL, those being Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones. Those two owners are two of the richest owners right now in terms of their NFL teams. Now, Kraft has done it with a team that's been in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, who knows however many times in the past 15 years. Actually, I know.
But
Jerry Jones has done it by building a giant stadium in the Dallas metropolitan area. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I'm a blind Patriots homer that I don't understand all of this. It seems like really, Jared, the only reason why you'd want the Rams to move there would be because you live there. And Monty, I don't seem to hear you believe that, you know, the move to LA is really all that necessary. You just want a new stadium. And Ken, you don't want to see your team move out of San Diego. So it again points back to just the NFL owners, where this is going to benefit the owners.
Yeah, it happens every year in San Diego. So, as soon as the season ends, you know, in the papers, maybe a month later, it's like, okay, what's the stadium situation? Oh, we still don't want to pay for it. Cool. And then this season or this off season, they finally, you know, dangled that carrot a little closer by saying, hey, we actually have a plan in LA. So San Diego, you need to get your stuff together and make us an offer before we leave. And I just don't know how serious they are about going to LA. And I know how serious they are. They want to go where there's a new stadium, but I don't think that they necessarily want to get out of San Diego. I don't know why you would want to leave San Diego.
It almost seems like when the Vikings were, their lease was up with the Metrodome, they just started planting that story of the Los Angeles Vikings. And it almost seems like the possibility of a team moving to Los Angeles is more valuable to the NFL owners, because then it allows them in their local markets to get support to build a new stadium or lose your team to Los Angeles, which seems to be a running theme. So I just don't know. I don't know how the economics of it all work, but it just seems like the threat of moving to Los Angeles is just as valuable as having a team in Los Angeles.
Can I add one thing about the economics of moving to LA? Forbes values all 32 NFL teams every year, and last year the Rams were actually the least valuable of all teams. They're pretty close to the Bills, but I think it was $930 million. And if you look recently, the Dodgers sold for over $2 billion in LA, and even the Clippers sold for $2 billion in LA. So if you move a team to LA, if those teams are worth $2 billion, an NFL team is going to be worth probably close to $3 billion just by moving it to LA. So that's part of the economic reasons that the Rams have for moving. And Stan Kroenke, the Rams owners, I mean, he owns the Denver Nuggets, the Colorado Avalanche. He also owns, he's a part owner of the Arsenal in English football. So, I mean, he's a big time owner, and he's looking probably more at the economics of this because of how much value a team in LA would have to him.
I hear all about Stan Kroenke, and I hear about his plan. He already has the land. He's probably willing to fund it himself. And if he builds a stadium in LA, I mean, I see that the Rams is just a perfect fit for LA. And then once that happens, I just think the Chargers are going to be SOL, and I think they're going to be stuck in San Diego.
I just don't see 20 NFL owners saying that Mark Davis, you can have a $3 billion franchise in the second biggest market just based on the history. Like, I'd just be shocked if that happened.
Well, you guys brought up a very valuable point, and that's Parker, our Buffalo Bills super fan, and Ryan, our Jaguars super fan. They're all going, we get to kick back this year. We don't have to worry about a thing. Even though we know Buffalo is going to move to Detroit and Jacksonville is moving to London. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, another interesting thing out of all this LA talk has been that of Philip Rivers, Ken. And we had an interesting discussion before we started. Why don't you share your thoughts here on Philip Rivers and not signing an extension, or not even talking about an extension until his current contract runs out at the end of the year?
I just don't think that the LA situation has that big of an impact on Rivers' contract situation. I look at that and I can just see his agent being like, hey, don't talk about the contract until the season's done. We need more leverage. But Rivers wants to stay with the Chargers. He was drafted here. He's been our franchise player since 2008. He loves San Diego. Who wouldn't love San Diego? But I can't see him wanting to leave the Chargers because of LA alone. I think the only way he would ever leave San Diego is if they just didn't offer him the kind of money that he's worth, which would be really, in my opinion, stupid on the front office. Because, you know, the Chargers are a bad team without Rivers at the helm, especially on offense. Rivers continually makes wide receivers better. And even when he has a porous offensive line like last year, you saw him, especially in the first half of the season before he got injured, you saw how much he did with that offense that we ran out there last year, which didn't have a lot of playmakers and was really, really injured. So I see Rivers saying that he won't sign an extension only as a leverage play, and I fully expect Rivers to be on the Chargers for the foreseeable future, especially because we control him through 2016 with the franchise tag. And although I doubt that it will even get to that point, I'm fairly confident that the Chargers would tender him with the franchise tag should it get to that point. And I think that's unlikely. I think there's going to be a long-term deal at the end of this season.
So you mentioned the banged up offense. I mean, what are your thoughts about the offseason so far? You get Orlando Franklin to help bolster that offensive line. Stevie Johnson, an upgrade over Eddie Royal, or do you think that's even?
I actually think that's pretty even. I think that Stevie Johnson could – I mean, I didn't watch Stevie Johnson at all last year. I wasn't watching a ton of Niner games, but – I think the upgrade from Colin Kaepernick to Rivers, I mean, just in terms of passing, is huge. And Steve Johnson is going to be able to come in, fill a big role, because Eddie Royal played a huge role on offense last year. But you touched on Orlando Franklin, and I think that is a huge signing. The worst unit on the Chargers team by far in the last 3 years was the offensive line. And on the one hand, Orlando Franklin is a great player. But then also we took him from the Broncos, which is just an added bonus, kind of getting back at them for taking Luis Vasquez last year. But we also signed King Dunlap. We re-signed him, who has been our best offensive lineman since he's been on the team. So that was huge. So the Chargers are planning on, from what I've read, moving DJ Fluker from right tackle to right guard. And I think Orlando Franklin will come in and play left guard, which along with King Dunlap at left tackle, we only need to fill, you know, the center and the right tackle position, which one of them can be filled with Chris Watt, who was drafted in the fifth round last year out of Notre Dame, I believe. And he played really, really well at center until he got hurt. I think everyone remembers how many centers we went through last season, which was just an obscene amount.
It was about 100, right?
I feel, yeah, it was honestly, it was every week. My dad was just shocked. He was like, not again, every single week. But, you know, they were terrible on offensive line. So, you know, hopefully Chris Watt is going to be coming back for week one. All signs point to that happening. And the Chargers offensive line should be much, much better than it was last season. And history has shown that if you stick Rivers behind a good offensive line, he can make receivers like, say, Ajiri Tutu look really good, or Chris Chambers look really good. The offensive line is really where it starts on offense for the Chargers, and I'm not really worried about any of the other pieces as long as we have Rivers healthy. And the end of last season was really, really hard to watch because he was hobbling out there and he was getting sacked, I mean, once a series, it felt like. And I also believe that Rivers is the best quarterback in the league at hanging in against pressure. When he's got guys in his face, he's shown the ability to step up in the face of pressure and throw guys open with guys in his face.
So let's play a game of what if. I'll start. This will give Jared and Monty some time to think about their proposal. And here's the what if for you, Ken, okay? Your team's moving to LA. Your team's going to move to LA, okay? Philip Rivers doesn't want to play in LA. He wants to be traded. There's no other way around it. They're going to trade. This was proposed by Patriots Pro Football Weekly, all right? We're going to give you Tom Brady. You're going to give us Rivers and two first rounders. Do you accept that deal or no?
Oh my God, are you serious? Two first rounders and Rivers?
Yep. For Tom Brady. Not,
I would actually stop being a fan if that happened. I would stop being a fan. That is the most outrageous Patriots homer thing that I have ever heard in my entire life. I think the gap between Rivers and Tom Brady is like not that much. I wouldn't even throw in a fifth round.
What is the gap? What's the gap?
Six Super Bowls, I think.
The Super Bowl. Okay, if you want to switch Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers, you just take them off and you switch them teams. I think the Patriots win the same amount of Super Bowls. Yeah, straight up. I think they win the same amount of Super Bowls.
Okay. I don't necessarily disagree. I heard it and I was like, well, I would definitely take that deal. Who would be stupid not to? But anyway, Jared, Phillip Rivers is available for the St. Louis Rams. You are not moving to LA, but the Chargers are. What's your offer to Ken for Phillip Rivers?
Well, I guess we'd probably have to throw in Nick Foles because you'd have to have a quarterback for next year. I definitely think Rivers is much better than Nick Foles, although I haven't got a chance to study him much since he just came to the Rams. But I would say Foles in a first round pick this year.
Is that enough for you, Ken?
Absolutely. Okay, you have to understand that I am so biased because Rivers has been, you know, he was my favorite player growing up. And in my opinion, he's been on some garbage teams in the last 5 years. Since the first year of Norv Turner, since that year, the year after Marty Schottenheimer, I think that A.J. Smith just absolutely destroyed the team. And without Rivers, I think the Chargers would have been the Raiders because, I mean, you look at the talent on those teams and they're garbage, you know, but Rivers makes them look good. And he, you know, he's done a lot more with perceived talent, but it's actually like, if you watch the games, the Chargers were awful on defense for a long time. And then the, you know, the one year that they had the number one rated defense, it wasn't even the number one rated defense. They were just really good on offense, and then they were awful on special teams. And so the yardage-wise, they would give up yards on special. They would give up touchdowns on special teams. I can't even begin to tell you how many special team touchdowns we gave up that year. I think it was 2011, and so the defense was like. But you look at the talent on those teams, and you look back, and it's like they just weren't that good. But the one thing that has been just absolutely amazing has been Rivers. And so I don't know. He's my favorite player. I think he's the best player in the team. I think he's a top five quarterback at the very least. So, I mean, you're going to have to give me an RG3 type, you know, haul
wow.
for me to
so
say,
you're,
oh yeah.
You're turning down Foles and a first rounder.
Yes. 100%.
Wow.
I think Rivers has three more elite seasons left in him.
Monty, I'm not even going to play this what if game because if Rivers isn't going to LA, he wants no part of the Raiders.
I hate Philip Rivers as much as the next guy. The way he, I mean, I'd give you Trent Richardson straight up and then cut him.
Monty, since we're not playing the what if game with you, what are your thoughts so far on the Raiders off season? What are you thinking right now in terms of your off season so far?
I mean, everyone who loves the Raiders was kind of hoping that they were going to bring in a huge free agent. I mean, doesn't Ndamukong Suh just feel like a Raider stepping on someone's throats? But I don't think that's the smart play, right? I think Reggie McKenzie got himself one more season, one more chance because Derek Carr had a good year last year. So he's bringing in a bunch of glue guys, you know, a bunch of bring your lunch pail and go to work kind of guys. Raiders defense is terrible. They've got so many holes that bringing and spending all your money on one or two players isn't going to help right this ship. So from my perspective, if I'm looking at it objectively, I kind of like what he's done. I didn't think Steve Wisniewski is as good as Stefan Wisniewski thinks he is. And the fact that he's still available on the open market probably backs that up. The rest of the league doesn't think he's good. So huge upgrade at center. Their offensive line needs help. Bringing in Nate Allen from the Eagles. I mean, just the Raiders don't have a secondary back there. The best player on the Raiders defense is Charles Woodson. He's like 38. So bringing in some talent is going to help them out. I kind of like what they're doing. I got a lot of jokes, obviously, when Trent Richardson was signed. I could tell you as many jokes as you'd like to hear. I don't think we have enough time. But the contract was structured. It's all incentive. Who cares? Christian Ponder coming in. A lot of jokes on Christian Ponder, too. But that allowed them to get rid of Schaub. He's just a backup as long as Carr doesn't get hurt. I mean, who cares? But at the end of the day, I think the Raiders are doing what they need to do, building through the draft, bringing in just quality veteran guys. This year, they're a little bit younger than they were last year. I think last year they were just trying to spend to the basement of the salary cap. This year it feels like they're moving in the right direction. So Jack Del Rio has got experience. I mean, I think if you're a Raiders fan, you're always in April, you've always got a lot of hope. You know, the moves that they're making feels like they're going in the right direction. We've got the quarterback, and if you've got a quarterback, you've got a chance, and it looks like Derek Carr is going to give them a chance, and I think they're making the right moves. We'll see who they pick up in April.
I'm most scared of the Raiders in the division for the next, not next year, but for the years after. I don't like what they're doing, which is to say, I think they're doing good things.
And it's been a while, so
I'd hate to see them make smart decisions. So
now, Jared, your team, we've mentioned Nick Foles, Sam Bradford, no longer there as the quarterback for the St. Louis Rams. You've made a couple of pickups on defense, signing a guy from my team, Akeem Ayers, and Nick Fairley. But these are two guys that have been known to sort of underperform. They haven't lived up to their potential. Ayers did a little bit last year, but that was with the Patriots. We've seen these guys who haven't performed before go to the Patriots, do good things, get another contract elsewhere, and then revert back to their old bad habits. What are your thoughts on the offseason so far for the Rams?
Well, the Ayers signing was decent. Actually, both the signings were very low guaranteed money, short term. I think Ayers was 2 years and Fairley was 1 year. So they're both kind of prove it deals. And the Rams don't have many holes on their defense, especially in their front seven. So Ayers will definitely be a upgrade over, over, I think is Dunbar was their outside linebacker last year. So he'll be an upgrade, and Fairley, if all they have Brockers playing on first and second down. So Fairley just comes in, rushes the pass rusher, is fresh, lined up next to Aaron Donald, Chris Long, and Robert Quinn. That's arguably the best defensive line in football. So I like both those signings. And the Foles trade, I was a little sad at first. I was a big Bradford fan. I know I'm kind of an apologist, and a lot of my friends make fun of me for that. But Bradford was great when he was healthy. The problem was he wasn't healthy, I think, for the last 6 years, including his last year at Oklahoma. He ended up on IR. So I was glad they were able to get at least you know, a mid-level starting quarterback in the NFL back for him, plus a second rounder next year and over $10 million in salary cap relief. So I think kind of overall it was a good trade, but man, we literally have two starting linemen right now on the roster, and we're hoping for a lot of young guys. So I hope they sign someone else in free agency. Maybe Steven Wisniewski if the price is right, or bring back Joe Barksdale. But I feel great about all aspects of their team right now, except for their offensive line.
So we've talked about LA. We talked about your team's offseason. And what's interesting about this offseason, it started with a bang and then it's disappeared. I mean, the only talk that really came out of this NFL owners meetings this past week was this whole LA thing. What's happened to the offseason, guys? Ken, let's start with you.
I was pretty disappointed to not see anything done with the catch rule, because just to give you an example, the Dez Bryant catch is what I'm talking about. My girlfriend doesn't watch any football, and she just happened to be watching that Cowboys playoff game with me, and she saw that catch and she was like, oh my god, it's a catch. Like, she got so excited. And then when she saw that it was overturned, I like wasn't able to explain why, because I couldn't, you know, I tried to explain the rules to her, and then she freaked out. She had no idea. Like, it was like, but he made the catch twice. My dad couldn't figure it out. He's really old. He's 70. He couldn't figure it out. No one could figure it out. And then we heard nothing about it. So that really bummed me out that we didn't get any more clarification on the catch. I personally thought it was a catch. I think the rule is kind of dumb. And I was bummed just not to hear anything more about that.
Monty, what are your thoughts about the disappearance of the offseason after week one?
Yeah, I think that you're skirting by the fact that the NFL had to change another rule because the Patriots are pushing it right up to the line of cheating and not quite cheating. The formation thing where you're having players report as eligible and ineligible, I mean, I think that had to happen, because as soon as the Patriots started doing it, you could see every team doing it and it'd just be weird. I don't care what you say about the rules. Dez Bryant made an all-time catch that should have definitely been addressed. But yeah, I think other than the Colts trying to put in a 9-point play, it's kind of all there is for the offseason. We're ready to get into the draft mode.
Jared, any rules that you lament not seeing getting passed this past week?
Yeah, definitely the catch, like Ken mentioned, that I just can't understand why they can't just have a clear definition. Every time a play like that happens, the announcers are kind of scrambling, trying to describe what a catch is and what isn't. And like the Calvin Johnson catch against the Bears 4 or 5 years ago, it just seems like that's a simple rule that they can just define. And I don't know what's holding them back from doing that. I mean, yeah, the 9-point touchdown make things a little interesting for a team coming back, but it's almost just a little too far-fetched to really see going into effect. So hopefully some of the injury stuff will help in the future with being able to take a medical timeout if someone looks woozy on the field. But yeah, I mean, the NFL game is so good. I don't think they really need to make a whole lot of changes.
Why they want to address the extra point and move it back farther. I mean, as fans, we need a chance to run to the refrigerator and grab a cold beer.
Well, again, that one was proposed by my team as well. And it's interesting that the team with the most accurate kicker in football history is the one that's saying, oh, let's move the extra point back a few more yards. I also think it's just interesting that in this day and age where the kicker is becoming, you know, less and less important in the game, the Patriots are the team that's trying to find a way to make him a little bit more important.
And the evil emperor was trying to get cameras put in the pylons or something for goal line calls, which I think makes sense. It's shocking to me that with all the technology out there, that isn't being considered.
You know, what's interesting to me is that tennis, of all sports, has a system that can see the lines pretty clearly, but NFL can't put in something that will do the same thing on the end zone. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense there.
Maybe the chain gang has a really strong union. So all those guys that run the chains, they just don't want to lose those jobs. So they won't allow technology to come in.
It could be. Let's switch our attention here to the NFL draft for a brief bit before we say goodbye. And just so people know, some of the background workings, the Superfan Super Mock Draft has begun offline. We don't want to give away anything about that that's been going on right now. I know Monty has already made a pick. I don't want you to reveal your pick, Monty, but what I would like you to do is sort of talk about what you're hoping the Raiders can come away with in the draft this year.
So I think if you look around on most major websites, they got the Raiders picking one of the big three wide receivers. And in a perfect scenario, I would love it if those quarterbacks drop down and somebody really wants, I mean, it doesn't have to be an RG3 deal, but just something. The Raiders could use value and, you know, a lot of picks. So if the Cleveland Browns are thinking they want to get up and get one of those two quarterbacks and they drop and offer up those two first-rounders that they have this year, I'd be ecstatic. But, I mean, the Raiders definitely need a threat on the outside to help stretch the field. So I'm assuming if they can't trade back and get extra picks, they're going to take one of those three guys, and I think they're all good. So they could trade back even five spots, still get one of the big three wide receivers coming out in the draft, and add a third or fourth rounder or anything like that, I'd be ecstatic.
Ken, what are your hopes and dreams in the draft for the San Diego Chargers?
Well, Tom Telesco has proven that he values both need and best player available. He's gone into both drafts, and actually the first two drafts in the first round, he's gotten what I think is a good value at both spots and a position of need. So in his first draft, he got Fluker for the offensive line, which is a major need. And then last year we got Verrett, who I was really, really stoked with. And he played really, really well before he got injured. And so I don't think that the Chargers need to draft a running back at that number 18 spot, which is what a lot of people have them doing. But I wouldn't be surprised if they did, because although they've said that they're happy with the three running backs they have on the team, Woodhead, Brandon Oliver, and Donald Brown, I just don't think that one of them can be a every down back. And although they may not need that, I think it'd be a nice luxury to have. But I fully expect Telesco to balance needs and best player available. So a guy that I would love to see fall to the Chargers would be the Iowa tackle Brandon Scherff to come in and play right tackle right away. I think that would shore up our offensive line quite a bit, which I believe is our biggest need. But I saw recently that with the marijuana thing with Randy Gregory, I saw him falling to the Chargers, and I think that would be a home run to get a guy who you saw going in the top five of some mock drafts fall all the way to the Chargers, because getting a big-time impact defensive player on that defense is something that we've had when Melvin Ingram is healthy, but definitely lacked when, you know, he hasn't been healthy, which has been a problem for him.
Jared, your team is picking 10 in the first round. You had mentioned offensive line problems. Is that the direction you're hoping you guys end up going?
I do hope so. I'm not sure if there's really an offensive lineman that's worth the top 10 pick. Maybe Brandon Scherff. I like his versatility. He could play right tackle or guard, which are both holes in the Rams right now. But I would definitely be fine if one of the pass rushers fell maybe into the early teens if the Rams traded back and picked up either him or Lyle Collins. But I kind of, if Amari Cooper or Kevin White happened to drop to 10, I wouldn't be opposed to the Rams taking one of those guys. I mean, they have Rams have a lot of questions at wide receiver, and they haven't really had a true number one wide receiver since Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. So I definitely, especially Cooper, he just reminds me so much of Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt with his really precise routes that he runs and great hands. But yeah, definitely offensive line. And we have to draft at least one wide receiver. We didn't take any last year. And I'd be really upset with all the questions we have at wide receiver if we don't take one.
Anything we missed?
Yeah, one thing I was reading on Pro Football Talk is that the Falcons might be losing their first round pick for piping in crowd noise. I just wanted to see what everyone thought about that. I think it's a fair penalty because cheating is cheating, and I'm all about not cheating. I think it's absolutely fair for them to lose their first round pick. If you cheat in any way, and it's, you know, you could say that the Patriots cheated with their formation shenanigans, but that wasn't a rule at the time, so, you know, it's not cheating. If they actually did deflate balls, which I, you know, I do not want to touch on that at all, but if, you know, if there was evidence that, hey, they knowingly deflated balls, I think recommending them with a first round pick wouldn't be out of the question if they knowingly broke the rules. And if the Falcons, you know, have been found out to say that they knowingly broke the rules, losing a first-round pick seems fair to me.
Jared?
I think the Falcons have the number 7 or 8 pick in the draft. So that would be a really, really big penalty. Maybe a second round would be a little more fair. It all depends on how, like, if the owner knows or the GM or the head coach, like, who all involved. I mean, if it was just, like, one or two rogue employees, then I don't think they deserve that. But if there's clear collusion and knowingly cheating from the top management, then maybe a first round pick would be worthy of a punishment.
In terms of pumping in fan noise, I think it's the most ridiculous thing to punish one NFL team for, unless you're trying to make the statement to the rest of the teams to stop doing it. Because this is not an excuse. Do not think that I'm making an excuse for the Falcons, but literally, this is the one thing that every team in the NFL does. Literally every team does this. So for them to punish the Falcons and none of the other teams is beyond ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. In terms of Deflategate, I'm just going to have to say this about that. And no, I don't have that drop yet. It's looking more and more like the NFL is trying to hide something on their own end. And they're trying to find a way for the Patriots to take as much of the brunt of the blame on it as they possibly can. I don't know if that's actually going to be the case or really what's going to end up happening there, but I do know that it's taken way too long for them to figure out what happened with these balls. And frankly, I can make a whole bunch of jokes, but I want to try and keep this podcast as clean as possible, and I'm not going to go there.
It's only cheating if you get caught.
There you go. There you go. All right, gentlemen, it's time to say goodbye. Monty, what's your Twitter handle?
Montsadius.
Nice.
At Montsadius. Nice.
It's nice and easy. Jared, what do you got for Twitter?
I'm at Rams_superfan.
That's the easiest of them all, I believe. Let's see, Ken, can you beat Rams_superfan?
My Twitter name is just my name, so it's at Kenneth J. Priest. San Diego State's basketball season is over, and so you won't find me complaining about calls or anything on there anymore. But yeah, you can follow me at Kenneth J. Priest.
I am, of course, at The Real Pod Vader. You're going to find me tweeting soon about the fact that my 11-year-old son won the office pool. You know, for Jellybean, of course. It's nothing wrong with that. It's blowing my mind right now.
My Twitter handle may be lacking in creativity, but my Twitter picture is fantastic. It's Bo Jackson touchdown from the old Tecmo Bowl game on NES. So you got to respect the old Bo Jackson. Greatest player in video game history.
That is a topic, my friend, for another day.
Michael, but you might have a word with you.
This is definitely going to be a topic for another day now. In terms of other NFL topics, folks, Blog Talk Radio has you covered. A brand new podcast, I believe, is going to debut later on this week. It's by a group of former NFL pros. Footballbyfootball.com is about to start podcasting with us on Blog Talk Radio. We also have Thursday Night Tailgate, featuring many of the former NFL coaches in the league joining that particular show. And I'll give you one guess when that show airs. It's Thursday nights. And we, of course, have a great relationship with SB Nation. In terms of fantasy football, you can't go wrong with us. The Fantasy Guru had a podcast earlier this week with the old standby from NFL Films, Greg Cosell. You know that information is always fantastic. Pro Football Focus has joined Blog Talk Radio with their podcasts. And we also have a couple of others. Her Fantasy Football, you get a great perception from the female side of things. And the F word with Dennis Farrell, right now he's in full-on fantasy baseball mode. So if you need some fantasy baseball tips like I do, because I'm not producing a show every day anymore, you might want to give that show to check it out. You can always follow us on Twitter at NFU Podcast, on Facebook, Next Fan Up, when you search it, or Facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Send us your questions, nextfanup@gmail.com. We want to talk to you guys. We're by the fans for the fans. Send us your questions. And I believe there you have it.